There's a cold silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on July the 1st, 2009. For newcomers, look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website and you'll see all the other servers I have, the other sites I have up on that front page. People should really take one of them as their favorite and bookmark it because eventually some of the bigger ones will probably be pulled again. And this way, too, it spreads the bandwidth. Sometimes people get problems going into the one site, the .com site, and they all go in at once trying to download, and thousands of people do it. Therefore, of course, that upsets Yahoo, and they let me know by giving me problems on my end. Therefore, as I say, go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website and choose one of the other ones if you have to, or bookmark them as well. You're a good choice to pick from. There's cuttingthrough.jenkins.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.net.us.ca, Alan Watt, cuttingthroughthematrix.ca, and also there's a European site that also carries all of the same audio, plus it has transcripts which you can download for printout off these talks that I've given in the past, and they're written in the various languages of Europe. Now, I'm probably the only show out there where the people who listen make it possible for me to come to you by buying that which I have for sale on my websites, the books and CDs, discs, etc., or else donating to me. Now remember, too, that personal checks are fine within the U.S. and Canada, and you can use PayPal. Some people even use MoneyGrams for abroad as well, or Western Union for abroad. So there's many ways you can get the money back to me or to me to keep going. And it is expensive doing what I do. Plus, it's 7 days a week, and it's more than 12 hours per day, the time this is uploaded to satellite. And for those who get the disc passed around, you can write to Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1, P3E4M1. Now, I've done so many talks in the past about the big system and the big foundations that work together. They're really all one. I don't care what they call themselves. Oh, they have this exact same agenda. Therefore, they're all on board on the same path. And eugenics was a big thing at the turn of the 1900s. They were open about the fact that the world that they planned to bring in for the entire planet would be one where the better types would come through and inferior types of humans would simply die off. We've had this pushed on us again many times in the past few months and over the past few years even by organizations like the Optimum Population Trust, another big foundation, with many lords and sirs as members from Britain, but they're worldwide. And they also get the ears of the politicians. No one ever asks how come these foundations get to speak to the big politicians and world leaders. Why are they more important than the average citizen? Well, you'll find that in the parallel government idea that Carl Quigley was talking about, they are the parallel governments, these big foundations. And these foundations are funded by the biggest bankers on the planet. Some of them are owned by the biggest bankers on the planet. And they also front many, many other foundations. You get to go through so many to find out where their funding comes from, and you can trace them all back to a handful.
Thank you. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is Alan Watts, and we're cutting through the matrix, discussing how the big foundations all work together on the same agenda, not just to do with eugenics, but literally from their very inception, at least from the Cecil Rhodes Foundation. They were on the go certainly before that, but they came out openly about taking over the world's resources too, and that the world's resources were just too important to be left in basically common private hands. Therefore, themselves being the natural elite, who'd proven it by acquiring incredible wealth over many, many centuries, and keeping a hold of it, not having their offspring squander it, because mainly they married into their own families and kept the money together. That was a good part of the reason. In fact, they married their nieces, if you look at the biggest bankers, and they still do. They decided, as I say, that no, you couldn't have even farming or natural resources in the hands of the lesser private people. Therefore, throughout the 20th century, and we've seen it definitely after World War II, there was a role to basically persecute small businesses and put them all under. And we saw the rise, the big rise of international corporations. That's what Margaret Thatcher said was the agenda. That international corporations would be part of this new world order. And she gave speeches on the world order. That was the title of her speeches after she left politics. She said she belonged to the parallel government for this new world order. And so did all the other ex-prime ministers and presidents. They never stopped working. In fact, they can get more done behind the scenes because they're not answerable to the public. But getting back to one of their main causes of concern is about people. You see, they say in their own basic belief system that in a post-industrial society, in a post-even technological society, since everything's manufactured technological-wise pretty well in China, what use do we have? What use do we have for them? And because they're based on economics, remember, banks run on economics. That there's no human emotion involved in economics. It's just numbers. Therefore, there's too many useless eaters. And apparently, according to Bertrand Russell and many other front people for these big foundations, we will become a problem one day. Therefore, they have to take care of it. That's why infertility has been increasing at a skyrocketing rate since the 1950s, since, in fact, the first polio injections were made mandatory in most countries. Well, here's an article here. It's from the Telegraph, and I'm going to show you how they word it. Partly humorous to start it off. That's how they disarm you, with humor. And it says here, genetic MOT for disease-free babies. An MOT is a Ministry of Transportation test that they give Europeans, mainly Britain, at their auto test every year, looking for pinholes to find you on and stuff like that. So they're liking it to, well, an annual normal thing. Then it says a genetic MOT, which can help. Now, IVF couples, in vitro fertilization couples. Now, why would it only be for IVF couples? Well, see, it's to help the poor souls. That's why. They always give you this to help the poor souls. That's how most laws come in. It's to help this and help that, until it spreads across the board and we're all under a whole bunch of new laws. So they're trying to say it's going to help in vitro fertilization couples screen embryos, to screen them. Now, they're already screening embryos, pretty well everybody's embryo, for Down syndrome and all the rest of it. And I've read articles where many healthy babies have been aborted by mistakes and have given false readings. But it says here, to screen embryos for hereditary diseases, and have healthy babies, how they could be available in the UK within a year. Now, this is going to happen all over. Whatever happens in Britain, Britain takes the lead in all of this, because this is international socialism or collectivism. That's the way the whole planet is to be run eventually. Now, remember, to have healthy babies, I've already read articles from big institutions where they're already considering, including the American Department of Psychology or Association of Psychologists, where they've gone into the mental health of people too, according to their hereditary characteristics. Was daddy a troublemaker? Did daddy ever break the law? Did granddaddy ever do it? Or grandma? You see, that comes into it too, and we must never, ever forget that. Because at the beginning, as I say, of the 20th century, the big foundations openly had their own magazines out on eugenics, called eugenic societies, with their perfect American families and so on, and they discussed without a qualm all those unhealthy, low IQ types down in the bottom, the ones who were prone to be criminals because they had a poverty gene in them. Well, that hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. So here's how they sell this idea to the people. Baby in a pink baby glow suit. Public landlord invents, oh, here he goes. It's all this stuff about this particular thing. Scientific trials are set to begin on the groundbreaking technique, which has been developed by British researchers and which they believe could eventually even eradicate some inherited conditions like Huntington's chorea. Now, it's a screening method. How can you eradicate something when you're screening it unless you simply abort? But the move will spark fears that the technology is moving towards creating designer babies because it could theoretically be used to screen out non-serious conditions or help couples have babies with designer traits such as blue eyes. So they've already taken us through a little maze there. It throws off track. However, its use would be heavily regulated in Britain. Well, we've seen how they heavily regulate stuff and how it simply expands in the other areas. Eh? And it's likely to be limited to extremely serious inherited diseases. So likely to be limited, not definitely, likely to be limited to extremely serious inherited diseases. What if you have an asthma attack or something like that, or your allergies? The £2,500 procedure removes the need for geneticists to spend months developing a test for a specific gene mutation, a technique called pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Last year, the first child in Britain was born free from, now, they haven't proven this yet, from a breast cancer gene. There's different breast cancers, different genes involved. But this is how they can mislead the public. Last year, the first child in Britain was born free from a breast cancer gene, which raises the lifetime chance of developing disease to 80% after doctors use PGT-D. But only around 2% of 1,500 inherited diseases can be identified in this way. The new test compares defects in a couple's genes. Defects. Now you've got defects. You're all going to be classified with defective genes. In a couple's genes with that of their embryo, and scientists believe that it can identify almost all known genetic diseases. Absolute nonsense and bunkum. This is going to be used as a political tool. Because who runs it? Geneticists run it. What do they get taught right off the bat in genetics? It's all about eugenics. They now call themselves bioethicists instead of eugenicists because Hitler gave them a bad name. It was developed at the Bridge Center in London. Scientists have successfully proven that the test can identify 100% of embryos with cystic fibrosis, clearing the way for clinical trials to begin later this year. And that's how they always give you the positive intro as they're launching something, be it a new pill, as a miracle cure, or whatever. That's how they do it. It's a PR rah-rah-rah thing. Nothing but good, 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 good. But what it really is a method of increasing the abortion rate. Amongst what class? Guess what it will be at the end. You got it. That's what it will be. It's so interesting how sure they are on certain things. Do you remember when they launched Prozac? Prozac was going to be the miracle cure for all depressions and all mental problems. Until we found out that people that were on it had these violent attacks at times and mothers started shooting their families and children, etc. But when they launched it, none of that was mentioned. It was the most safest, perfect medication ever devised. Here's another one, just to show you. We all know what Merck is. Merck, the big pharma corporation. It says, Merck not sure for trial why trial AIDS vaccine failed in volunteers. We're not sure. Right? I thought these guys were always certain. When they're promoting stuff, they're always certain, aren't they? Last updated in November the 8th, 2007. 2007 this came by the Associated Press. New data on an experimental AIDS vaccine that failed to work, shows volunteers who got the shots were far more likely to get infected with HIV through sex or other risky behavior than those who got dummy injections. What? How can that be? Those who got this new vaccine for HIV prevention had more chance getting HIV than those who got the dummy injections, the placebos. Well, how would that be? Since the new details released Wednesday by drug maker Merck & Co. don't answer the crucial question of whether the vaccine's failure also spells doom for many similar AIDS vaccines now in testing. Did they give these people the AIDS in the vaccine? Because the people with the dummy injections didn't get the problem. It says, and researchers weren't sure why more of the vaccinated volunteers wound up getting HIV than those who got the dummy shots. Merck, based in White House Station, New Jersey, announced September 21st that it was stopping the study because the vaccine didn't work. It was a stunning setback in the push to develop an AIDS vaccine. Amazing how they're so positive on things when they want. See, they didn't put enough PR and publicity into fudging the figures for this one. I'll be back with more after these messages.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Alan Watt, we're cutting through the matrix. The matrix is an incredible place to be because we're constantly given our reality from a billion sources every day. They generally all get their same sources from the one source, either AP or routers or something like that. And it goes across the whole world as though it's just fact. It's astonishing how it's worked. And we know, too, that techniques of PR use repetition. We found out with the weapons of mass destruction and some of the policy advisors on the president's board actually admitted that. They go into these meetings, they tell everybody involved to use these particular terms or phrases when they're talking to the media, and it just comes into the consciousness of the public through osmosis. We don't think it through. Weapons of mass destruction, stuff like that. It's a psycholinguistics. It works very, very well on repetition. I've talked before, though, about how the big foundations and their 1,000 points of light, their 1,000 points of light, you see, are the non-governmental organizations that are funded by the big foundations. That's what Bush Sr. was talking about when he gave his New World Order speech on September the 11th, 1990, and then on September the 11th, 1991. They do love their dates. Well, see, part of the destabilization process of other countries is to send in NGOs. I read recently an article where Putin in Russia was actually throwing out various NGO groups that come in from the West because he knew what they were all about, destabilization, alteration. And we have seen this over the last couple of years across Europe, the ex-Soviet countries, where we saw the Orange Revolution and the Green Revolution and stuff like that. Well, these are organized and funded by your tax money generally, with money as well from the big foundations, and run as covert warfare operations. In the Department of Defense's 90-page report, they talk about the use of what they call hard force and soft force. Under soft force comes the NGOs, the well-organized, and that's the key to it, organization, the well-organized NGO groups who will go into countries and destabilize from within. We're seeing it too happen in Iran right now. They've been there for over 2 years now. And also in the American copycat version for their Department of Defense, the U.S., which was right on par with what they see for the next 30, 40, 50 years happening as the British one and NATO, they also talked about the use of soft force. Well, that's the NGOs. Well, here's an article about it from Global Research, July the 1st, 2009. In his new book, Full Spectrum Dominance, Totalitarian Democracy in the New World Order, F. William Engdahl explained a new form of U.S. covert warfare first played out in Belgrade, Serbia, in the year 2000. What appeared to be a spontaneous and genuine political movement was a product of techniques developed in America over decades. In the 1990s, RAND Corporation, that's one amazing corporation, the RAND Corporation strategists developed the concept of swarming to explain communication patterns and movement of bees and other insects which they applied to military conflict by other means. In Belgrade, key organizations were involved in the and you saw the demonstrations, including the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, the International Republican Institute, IRI, the National Democratic Institute. There was a few other ones as well. USAID is a big one in it. Posing as independent NGOs, non-governmental organizations, they are, in fact, U.S.-funded organizations charged with disruptively subverting democracy and instigating regime changes through non-violent strikes, mass street protests, major media agitprop, and that's what they call it, agitprop, agitation, and whatever else it takes short of military conflict. That's what you call soft force. But they're well-funded, well-organized. They're given all these flags, their colors, and so on, to make it look from us in the West as though it's an in-house thing that's happening, an in-country conflict, and these people, these young people must really want this. This is all designed by the West. Engdahl cited Washington Post writer Michael Dobbs' first-hand account of how the Clinton administration engineered Slobodan Milosevic's removal after he survived the 1990s Balkan Wars, 78 days of NATO bombing in 1999, and major street uprisings against him. A $41 million campaign was run out of American Ambassador Richard Miles' office. It involved U.S.-funded consultants handing everything, including popularity polls, training thousands of opposition activists, and helping to organize a vitally important parallel vote count. That was in the papers. Thousands of spray paint cans were used by student activists to scrawl anti-Milosevic graffiti on walls across Serbia and throughout the country. Around 2.5 million stickers featured the slogan, Gotovje, meaning he's finished. Preparations included opposition leader training in non-violent resistance techniques at a Budapest, Hungary seminar on matters like organizing strikes, communicating with symbols, it's a very important one, overcoming fear, and undermining the authority of a dictatorial regime. U.S. experts were in charge incorporating RAND Corporation's swarming concepts. GPS satellite images were used to direct what appeared to be spontaneous hit-and-run protests, able to elude the police or military. Meanwhile, CNN was carefully pre-positioned to project images around the world of these youthful, non-violent protesters. More after the following break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix, reading an article about what's called the color revolution. They love to give them colors like the orange revolution, etc. But they're actually highly specialized, well-organized, and heavily funded parts of warfare. It's called soft force. Soft force. It says here in this article that Milosevic was deposed by a successful high-tech coup that became the hallmark of the U.S. defense policies under Rumsfeld at the Pentagon. It became the civilian counterpart to his revolution in military affairs doctrine, using highly mobile, weaponized small groups directed by real-time intelligence and communication. I don't know if people know it. They've got a part of the Pentagon, basically, that's called revolutionary democracy, where they go in with using these techniques and using authorized NGO groups who are highly trained and well-funded to disrupt from within. That's what they call revolutionary democracy. Now, it's not the democracy that we think of either, because they don't want national democracy across the world anywhere. It's international socialism. It's really what they're pushing. It says here, too, especially new was the use of the internet, including chat rooms, instant messaging, and blog sites, as well as cell phone, verbal, and SMS text messaging technologies, only available since the mid-1990s. Now, it's okay when governments use civilian NGOs to go in and do this and create terror and so on. But God help you if you say the wrong thing on the internet. It's amazing the hypocrisy, isn't it? Amazing. It says here in 2003, Georgia's bloodless Rose Revolution, remember that one? It's not that long ago. Replaced Edward Shevardnadze with Michael Saakashvili, a U.S.-installed stooge whom Engdahl calls a ruthless and corrupt totalitarian who is tied not only to NATO, but also to the Israeli military and intelligence establishment. Shevardnadze became a liability when he began dealing with Russia on energy pipelines and privatizations. Efforts to replace him played out as follows, and note the similarities to events in Iran after claims of electoral fraud. Georgia held parliamentary elections in November the 2nd. Without evidence, pro-Western international observers called them unfair. Saakashvili claimed he won. He and the United Opposition called for protests and civil disobedience. Remember that? They began in mid-November in the capital of Tbilisi, then spread throughout the country. They peaked on November 22nd, Parliament's scheduled opening day. While it met, Saakashvili led supporters placed roses in the barrels of soldiers' rifles, seized the parliament building, interrupted Shevardnadze's speech, and forced him to flee for his safety. Saakashvili declared a state of emergency, mobilized troops and police, met with Shevardnadze and Zurab Zvania, the former parliament speaker and choice for new prime minister, and apparently convinced the Georgian president to resign. Celebrations erupted. A temporary president was installed, Georgia's Supreme Court annulled the elections, and on January the 4th, 2004, Saakashvili was elected and inaugurated president on January the 25th. New parliament elections were held on March the 28th. Saakashvili's supporters used heavy-handed tactics to gain full control with strong U.S. backing and plotting and executing his rise to power. U.S.-funded NGOs, non-governmental organizations, were also involved, including George Soros's Open Society, Georgia Foundation, Freedom House, NED, others tied to the Washington establishment, and Richard Miles after leaving his Belgrade post to serve first as ambassador to Bulgaria from 1999 to 2002, then Georgia from 2002 to 2005, to perform the same service there as against Milosevic. Ukraine's, you remember the Orange Revolution in Ukraine? It followed a similar pattern to Georgia and now Iran, after Viktor Yanukovych won the November 21, 2004 runoff election against Viktor Yushchenko. It erupted following unsubstantial claims of fraud. It's always unsubstantiated, you see. Yanukovych favored openness to the West, but represented a pro-Russian constituency and was cool towards joining NATO. Washington-backed Yushchenko, a former governor of Ukraine's central bank, whose wife was a U.S. citizen and former official in the Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush's administrations. He favored NATO and EU membership and waged a campaign with the color orange prominently featured. Well, guess who supplied all the orange stuff? The media picked it up and touted his orange revolution against the country's Moscow-backed old guard. Mass street protests were organized, as well as civil disobedience, sit-ins and general strikes. They succeeded when Ukraine's Supreme Court annulled the runoff result and ordered a new election for December 26, 2004. Yushchenko won, and it was inaugurated on January 23, 2005. So there's a book out now on how it's all orchestrated. And these big United Nations backed and approved NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are also working for the Pentagon. That's why the real grassroots guys don't even get acknowledged by the United Nations. They're all working towards this socialist, collectivist world system run by a fascist elite at the top. They run on communistic lines for all those down below, with masses of levels of bureaucrats running our lives from birth to death. And they have unlimited financing, both our tax money backing them and the big foundations, the parallel governments. That's how it really, really works in the real world. But to the viewers back home, we're all sitting confused thinking, well, I guess these people really, really want this guy to get in. And they have no idea, none at all, what's really, really going on. I remember reading an article from the, I think it was the Boston Globe, but it was through all major U.S. media at the time, when an advisor to President Bush was talking to the media, and he said, we'll give you your reality. He says, and when we change a reality for you, you'll follow that reality and you'll write about it too. And then we'll change it again and you'll all follow the new reality. He says, reality is whatever we say it is, whatever we give you. That's how we're all treated the same way. And sure enough, they do give the majority of people what they think is reality. And it's all illusion and camera shots and PR and repetition. Now, I'll go to the phones now, and we've got Laura from Illinois. Is Laura there?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
In regards to, just to add to this, as far as the illusions created, a really excellent movie to watch, a documentary is called Control Room, about Al Jazeera.
Yes.
And this thing is, it covers a lot of things, but in there, you'll see them actually, they'll be sitting in the newsroom, and you'll see them all watching this broadcast come out from America, CNN, mm-hmm. about the troops coming in, and also pulling down the statue in Baghdad.
That's right.
And they're all sitting there going, they're looking out on the roads, there's no troops, and then when they hit the statue, the first comments coming out is, those aren't Iraqis, where'd they get these people?
And then they panned back years afterwards and showed you that the U.S. tanks with chains pulling it down.
Yeah, it's all staged. There's another real good one. I can't remember the name of it. It's was down in Venezuela when what's his name? Chavez was they tried to overthrow him. Yeah, Hugo Chavez, when they tried to overthrow him, and it'll show the media coming out and the propaganda. And now it's much cruder than what we get here in the States, but you'll recognize it. And it's a real good eye-opener to people who don't really get a full grasp of the fact that it's just all staged, all of it.
Yes, right. Even the fact they put in embedded reporters. What does embedded mean? If one reporter was embedded with the military and he was writing articles about atrocities of the military, he'd be dead. Yeah. So these guys are all on board with the agenda.
Some of them did go that way in the very beginning. I have a comment about that AIDS vaccine article.
Yeah.
I think it went perfectly for them. I don't think they were worried about botching numbers at all. I think it was a staged thing to say that we tried to make a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. After getting billions of dollars, that's right.
Yeah, right. But it just didn't work. And then what they probably did, and this is just my mind, is they probably perfected it. And now that stuff will be slipped into all the rest of the things.
You could be right on. I mean, here we are reading about the subterfuge that goes on in everyday life across the world. And, of course, they couldn't do it in that area. Of course they'd do it in that area, too. Of course they would.
Sure, two bangs for the buck, if not even more.
Yes.
And then one last thing, if I can. The global warming scare.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this not, down here in the fields, you know, everybody is, you're always around people who just don't get it, okay? Mm-hmm. And you got your left and your right, and they're still pointing fingers and playing this silly game. and nobody believes in it. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to step back and go to a second thing to try and get a scare, because I'm starting to see a lot of weird stuff out about the alien.
Yeah,
if they don't fall back to that one.
Yeah, or the photon belt, or when they pass through a photon belt and suddenly become gods, and all the evil people will perish. That's been the New Age stuff for years.
I'll bet you they pull that rabbit out of the
hat. I know. It's monotonous, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. All right, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Another good movie to watch, too, is Wag the Dog. That's an excellent expose on what they actually did eventually with Yugoslavia and Bosnia. And even had the right names and right countries involved before the war began. And they played it out just the way it was played out in reality a year or so later. Wag the Dog, definitely see that. Also, for the genetic testing and enhancement, etc., look at the movie Gattaca, where they create a new class, a superior class of those who are genetically enhanced, etc., who get all the jobs. This is not science fiction, really. This is all, in fact, it's been discussed in universities after the movie came out, Gattaca. Well worth seeing. And now we'll go back to the phones. And who do we have here? We've got Deborah in Baltimore. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Not so bad.
It's unreal. Now you've got the CEO of the lovely Rupert Murdoch saying that bloggers should all be jailed.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not crack up entirely reading this man's words?
Yes.
Because bloggers, my God, they might actually expose them.
Oh God! God forbid, you know. and that's the whole key. These guys literally have told so many lies, and the beauty of it so far is that just like the king has no clothes, it takes a child or someone just saying something simply with facts behind it and very short and simple, and you can break the spell. And they hate that. They hate that, the people breaking the spell.
So I'm wondering how that's all going to kind of like fold. Is that going to fold into the hate crime bill? How does that all kind of, you know, bloggers, oh, my God, they're a threat.
Well, they're already calling it low-level terrorism, officially.
Yeah. But anybody who disagrees with the so-called government on anything, whether you disagree on the global warming scam or you disagree on the official 9/11 story, you're all terrorists now.
That's correct, and that's the only way they can go now. That's the only way they can go. Is to make examples, terrify people by long journal sentences or stuff like that to quieten them down, because they either continue speaking the truth or they just come down. So there's no other option.
No, and just, you know, but just on the face of it, how ridiculous is that? You know, any sane or thinking person is going to say, well, you know, you take whatever you read, see, hear with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything on the internet is 100% factual. You have to understand that there are government-paid agents out there.
I've read the articles where they have teams of specialists that go in and get chatty in people in chat rooms and then infiltrate and then get a following and use them to bombard people with hate mail and stuff. But it's government agents that are doing it.
Right. And, you know, and what I've always said to people is, you know, be an individual. You are an individual. You're a sovereign person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to belong to Group A, Group B, Group C, whatever.
Yep.
You
don't get a fancy cap for the gang.
Exactly. I don't need a gang. I don't need a following, you know, and nobody does. And as long as people maintain that individual status, you know, this is what they can't fight. They can't fight that you're a sovereign.
And they hate it. They have said at the United Nations openly that the cause of all wars is individuality. I'm not kidding. and therefore the enemy of the perfect utopia, the world peace, is individuality. It must be
that
destroyed.
That would make me an individual enemy of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm. But that's where they've gone with it, and they're going to go a lot further. And it will, because, I mean, we're already living in fantasy land when you listen to the guys at the top with their declarations as they keep piling laws and rules on us all, what to say, how to behave, what to eat, what not to eat, how heavy you should be, how light you should be, how your
now
child should
now
be, what color eyes. You know.
Now they're blaming, oh, you've got all these fat people.
Yeah.
Well, my God, you know, they can't afford anything else but the dollar menu at McDonald's.
And also the stuff they've been forced with the GMO and plus all the stuff they put in the animals. But it's mainly the oils now. They cannot tolerate it. It gets stored as fat and you cannot take it off. And the scientists at the top know this. The bioengineered the people were seeing the end product of it. And also, don't forget, it's the United Nations who got all the countries to sign. I mean, sign. After the war on smoking, which the UN declared, the war on obesity. So it's from the United Nations again, this whole PR spin. Yeah.
And it's horrible because it's the people that have no money and no hope.
But it's also designed to stigmatize another segment of society, you see,
and
create fear within people and so on, and give government more regulation over personal lives. Right down to what you eat and how much you weigh and so on.
Yeah. and it's horrific because these are the people that are going to be targeted. And at least in the area that I live, they have nothing.
No.
I mean, they're just barely eking by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, they're eating whatever fills them up, potatoes, junk food.
What's cheap? But all the stuff that you buy nowadays, if you're buying processed stuff and all the rest of it, contains these oils. The body cannot, it'll store them as fat. It can't reconvert them. And once you're 30 pounds over, you never get it off. And that's from the top guys that have tried and tried. This is bioengineering. Absolutely.
Right.
But there's a break coming. So we're back with more after these messages.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, and we'll go to Joe from the UK, from Britain. Are you there, Joe? Hello, Joe.
I've been listening to you. Hi. I'd just like to tell you that I've been listening to your show for quite a while. And to tell the truth, I absolutely detest it. It is the worst programming on RBN, and I hope they drop your show as soon as possible.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words now, and the same to you. Now we'll go to Dan from Tennessee. Is Dan there?
Hi, Alan.
Hello. Amazing guy just spent some money here.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, did you make reference to this article from UPI? I kind of caught your show mid-broadcast about Netanyahu attacking Iran with television.
I think I have in the past. All the topics I mentioned.
Well, let me tell you this. This is from 2002.
Uh-huh.
UPI says a former Israeli prime minister Thursday called upon the United States to effect regime change in both Iraq and Iran, prescribing a military invasion to topple the government in Baghdad and the transmission of ribald, I guess, television programming via satellite into Persia, where he said the influx of pop culture would prove subversive to the conservative Islamic regime, citing the hundreds of thousands of satellite television dishes in Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu.
I know all that, but the thing is, too, that was even in the U.S. Military's own magazine. I read that on the air,
mm-hmm.
but they said that they would bring in subversive cult. Actually, what they said was one of the lowest subversive cultures into the rest of the world, because they said the rest of the world wants it. They were talking about bringing in the American low culture that's been given to the public here
and
used that across the world.
There's a good movie, if you haven't seen it, it's called Nose, Iranian Style. It's about the epidemic of nose jobs in Iran.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I know they had what they had in Iran is a service going on right now where they'll give you sex changes. That was on public broadcasting just a few nights ago.
Right. It's like apparently there's plastic surgery is a big thing in Iran right now to change the way even Iranians look to try to look more Western.
Oh yeah, Iran is not the country that people think it is. Iran is apart from the actual smaller religious groups there are in Iran, most people in Iran are almost atheistic, you know.
Right. Hey, you know.
And they're all for grabbing what they think is democracy. They have no idea what democracy really is. We've been losing it. If we ever had it, we've been losing it all along. But these people over there don't know that.
Just kind of as an aside, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but I remember back in the late 70s, after Bon Scott from AC/DC died, his sister was interviewed on Westwood One. Her name is Adelaire Kinnear.
Yeah.
And she was trying to put to rest a rumor that AC/DC, the acronym, stood for Antichrist, Devil's Child. And she said her brother, who died of an alcohol overdose, told her that it was called Aleister Crowley Death Cult. That's what AC/DC stood for.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if it was or not, but all through that era, almost every group that there was, and right up to the present day, were definitely into Crowley's. Even on the Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper, you'll see on the front page all their heroes, and Aleister Crowley's there, along with Marx and Lenin and so on. Yeah.
She
amazing.
Said that he was...
But they do put it right in your face, and they all join the OTO. That's the big movement for the New Age Masonic movement. But thanks for calling. That's the music for tonight. So from Hamish, myself, in Ontario, Canada, it's good night. And may your God or your gods go with you.